निरञ्जनोऽसि संसारमाया परिवर्जितोऽसि संसारस्वप्नम् त्यज्य मोहनिद्रम् मदालसोल्लपनुवाच पुत्रम् शुद्धोऽसि रेतातनतेऽसि नाम कृतम् हि ते कल्पनयाधुनैव पञ्चात्मकम् देहमिदम् न तेऽसि नैवास्य त्वम् रोदिषि कस्य हेतु न वा भवान् रोदिति विश्वजन्मा शब्दोऽयमायाद्यमहीशसूनु विकल्प्यमाना विविधैर्गुणैस्ते गुणाश्च भवता सकलेन्द्रियेषु.
ॐ शान्ति एण्ड् अ वेरि गुड् मार्निङ्ग् डियर् ब्रदर्स् एण्ड् सिस्टर्स्. We welcome you heartily to this program today. We are very fortunate to have a well-known speaker and an organizer in various seminars and conferences, and we are going to listen to him today. He is Dr. Sachin, and his name is also very unique. Sach means in Hindi truth, in, within. So as he is going to be speaking to us, he will also at the end of it conduct a short meditation for which please listen very carefully. And before I call upon him, please do not go off until the program is over, because you will receive sweets and also blessings from him. Otherwise you are going to miss that. So stay on, and we also intend to have a group photograph taken. Dr. Sachin is the head of the medical department, the Department of Medicine in our Brahma Kumaris Global Hospital in Mount Abu. So please put our hands together and welcome Brother Sachin.
Om Shanti, and a very good morning to all of you. In one school, a girl from a village took admission. The school was in one metro city. And on the very first day of her school, the teacher asked one question to all the students. She said, "Write down on your notebook the seven wonders of the world." See, all the students got engaged in writing the seven wonders of the world. Everybody wrote. Somebody wrote the classic old wonders, somebody wrote the new old wonders, somebody added few from their own mind. At the end of the class, the teacher collected the papers. But one girl was still writing, and she asked that girl from village, "Have you finished?" She said, "Just 1 minute." And she wrote her last. And teacher was intrigued, curious to know what this girl has written who has come from village. And when she read the seven wonders that girl wrote, this teacher was surprised. She had never heard such seven wonders of the world. Any guess what that 9-year-old girl must have written? To see is the first wonder. To listen is the second wonder. To feel is the third wonder. To think is the fourth wonder. To be kind, to laugh, to love. Are they not wonders? Is it not that each one of us has lost something very, very important in life. How much time we have to feel the things, to think about things, to see, to listen, to laugh, to be kind-hearted, and to love somebody. These things have become so rare in the world. There is one author in English. She wrote a book, Sense of Wonder. And she wrote this book when she was at the age of 70. And what she did, she said that throughout my life I have missed something very important. And I want to fill that gap, that vacuum which is in my heart. I want to relive my childhood. So she made a friendship with a three-year-old boy. And she followed that boy till the boy was 5 years old. So 2 years she lived with that child. And she did everything what the child did. If the child was crawling, she also crawled. If the child was stuck with wonder, she also did the same. If the child was crying, she also cried. If a child was smiling, she also smiled. She thought that I never lived my childhood. I want to go back in my childhood and feel what is it to become like a child. And she did everything. And that was a wonderful book that she wrote. Her experiences, Sense of Wonder. To feel things, to love things, to know things, to look at in curiosity, what are all these things? That childlike simplicity, that childlike innocence is somewhere lost in the complicated and the intricacies, in the complicated life and the intricacies of our businesses. If a child goes to the sea beach, it will pick up pebbles. It will look at those pebbles with wonder. It looks at the sunrise in wonder. It looks at the sunset in wonder. But for adult, these are common things. And we don't waste time on these foolish things. The child is filled with wonder. There are two words in English. One is surprise, another is wonder. What is the difference? Dictionary says they are same. In Hindi they are known as Ashcharya and Vismay. In the dictionary the words are meaning is same, but they are different. Surprise is something which is outside, which is surprising you. Wonder is something awe, something which is within. One is taking you within, one is taking you outside. They say that don't get surprised at anything in the world. Somebody is friend, he deceive you, don't get surprised. These things happen. I'm not talking of that surprise, I'm talking of wonder. Wonder is something which is within us. Oh, things are like this. Look at the wonderful things which are within us, within the kingdom of the mind. Just as a child is filled with curiosity, inquisitiveness, do we feel the same thing? There was an English author and he was asked by a young small boy why the leaves are green. And this author, this poet, he couldn't answer. Because he felt I should not give him false answers, as we usually do. And he says, child, I do not know. I will also try to know. He could have said that leaves are green because of chlorophyll, but why the chlorophyll is green then? The question still remains. So this wonder, as the child is always curious, inquisitive, to know things, that should be the spirit. To know, to understand, to feel, to love, to laugh, without any desire to show off. We are not doing anything because somebody should see us. Just out of pure joy, out of pure happiness. Just now you were hearing one song. Shuddhosi, Buddhosi, Niranjanosi, Sansara Maya Parivarjitosi. This is a very famous Sanskrit chant. In Indian scripture, there is one Upanishad, Markandeya Upanishad. In that Upanishad, one mother is described. And she is not an ordinary mother. Her name is Madalasa. This is the lullaby she is singing to her child. It's a very famous lullaby. A child is crying in the cradle. And what she is saying to that child, you know, she is not giving that child some toys so that the child becomes calm. How she is calming the child? These are the sanskar, these are the habits, or these are the elevated thoughts she is pouring in the hearts and the minds of that child, so that that child doesn't become an ordinary person. She is saying, Shuddhosi, Buddhosi, Niranjanosi, Sansara Maya Parivarjitosi. Oh child, you are pure child. You are enlightened child. You are spotless. Leave the illusion of the world and wake up from the deep slumber of illusion. Religious teachings. She is teaching that child something very elevated things. She is telling that child, you are this, you are that, you are that. This is how she is calming the child. And this poem is very famous in India. We call them sanskars. Sanskars are set of habits, resolves, something you are teaching the child right from the time he is very small, so that he becomes an elevated, so that he becomes a responsible individual, a moral person, a spiritually enlightened person. So this is what they talk about the women of India. Today we will have some talk on healthy, happy mind. What should we do so that that spotless mind is created, which is always on cloud nine. Cloud nine is a stage of happiness. What should we do so that the mind remains elevated all the time? These fluctuations of the mind, sometimes happiness, sometimes unhappiness, sometimes going down in the deep stage of depression, sometimes getting lost in the world, again coming back. This keeps on going throughout. Can we do something? Can we apply certain universal principles to stabilize the mind, to stabilize our hearts, and to come out from the depth of darkness where we are many times? There's a very good quote in English. We do not progress from darkness to light. We progress from lesser light to higher light. It's not that I am in the dark totally, but definitely wherever I am, less light is there. And the best thing in life is to understand one's ignorance. To come to the conclusion that whatever I have understood, whatever I have known, whatever experiences I have, they are nothing. There are many more things to know. There are many more things to understand. When Socrates was a small boy, he used to think that he knows everything in the world. When he grew up a little, then he came to the understanding that no, there are many things still I need to know. And when he became an old man, he realized, all I know is that, I know not anything. And at that point of time, there was an oracle at Delphi, and that pronounced that Socrates is the wisest person in Athens. So, it is the journey from lesser light to higher light. From lesser understanding to higher understanding. It is a journey from feeling less to feeling more, laughing less to laughing more. It's a journey from seeing less to seeing more, listening less to listening more, loving less to loving more. In Zen, there is a very beautiful saying, before enlightenment, cut wood, chop wood, collect water. After enlightenment, collect wood and chop wood and collect water. Ordinary work one is doing, and then suddenly one becomes enlightened. But after enlightenment also one is doing the same work. But now the stage of the mind has become elevated. The greatest work to do is not to do something extraordinary that your name is flashed everywhere in the world, but to do the most ordinary works with a very elevated feelings. This is what is enlightenment. So, in order to build up such a mind, we need certain bricks. We need certain principle. In order to have such a rainbow in our life, we need certain colors. What are those colors and what are those rainbows? What are those bricks? So, in this class we will see 7 principles which we need to apply to our life. These 7 bricks that will help you build up a very strong, powerful and stable mind, a healthy mind, a spotless mind, which doesn't give in so easily, which remains stable in the face of the adverse situations, which remains stable in the face of all the difficult circumstances, which doesn't give in, no matter what happens. The strongest man is the one who stands alone. The strongest man is the one who stands alone. And there's one more saying, in your greatest hour of need, you are alone. In your greatest hours of need, you are alone. You might have had lakhs of friends on social media, but when you are in need of someone, you know that none will be there. You are alone in those moments. And the strongest man is the one who stands alone, without any support. So, to make such a strong mind, such a powerful mind, to erect such a building, such an edifice, you need very strong bricks. I'll tell you just 7 proverbs, English proverbs. Once they are applied to life, life changes. The first principle is, any time means no time. Any time means no time. What does it mean? This is the first principle of happy life. I will do it later on. No, do it now. Any time, I can do it anytime. Any time means you are never going to do it. Do it now. The time is now. In this moment lies the eternity. Don't think that, oh, these spiritual things, these religions and all these things, I have no time for all these things. I am running, I have so many other things to do in life. I will do all these things later on. Let me first finish this and then I will come to it. This mind, calming the mind, stabilizing the mind, health and all other things later on. first let me earn. First let me take care of my family, and first let me take care of all the things which I am doing at present. Later on I will come to, at leisure I will see all of these things. That time will never come. Any time means no time. There was a Russian author, Leo Tolstoy. He wrote a beautiful thing in 1886. The name of his story was, How Much Land Does the Man Need? And there is one character in that, Pakhom. His name is, he is a poor farmer living in one place, had little small farm, and living a happy life. Suddenly one day a guest comes and he says, what are you doing here? Why don't you go to other place? That the land is very cheap. You will become rich there. And the moment he listens to this, he cannot sleep at night. Next day he decides, let me go to that place. He sells off everything and reaches that place. And once he comes to that place, he asks the people there, what is the cost of the land here? The people say, cost? It is free. But there is just one condition. You have to start running from one line and by evening come back to the same line. Whatever distance you run, that land would be yours. So he is excited at night, how much I am going to run. I will run as much as possible so that throughout my life I don't have to earn at all. The next day he comes there. Whole village is there standing. And he's so happy. Now I will begin my journey. And he starts running. First slowly. But then he thinks, why am I running slowly? If I run slowly, I will get less land. Let me run fast. So he starts running very fast, very fast. And it is almost 12 noon. There is another condition that you have to reach back to the same place before sunset. He is running very fast and he feels hungry. And he has some food with him. But he thinks, if I eat now, I will get less land. And the whole life is there to eat. He throws that food. Let me run first. And he starts running and running and panting and running and panting and running. And then he feels thirsty. He has water. But he thinks, if I drink water, I have to stop. Stopping means less land. Throws the water and starts running and starts running. And then a time comes, then he thinks, now I should return back. But at that point he sees the land which is in front of him is little fertile, beautiful and greener. So he thinks, let me run a little more. And he runs a little more. And then again stops, and now he thinks, I have to go back. Otherwise I will not be able to reach. But the land is beautiful and more fertile and more greener. Let me run a little more. And he runs a little more. And the time comes, it's 4 o'clock. He has to return back and he starts running at a very fast pace. And the sun is going down on one other side. And he's running so fast. And now he sees the villagers standing there. And the time is very less. And just when he's about to touch the line, he comes and he falls down and he dies. Villager says, one more fool died today. Now my question to you is, why this happened? Tell 2-3 answers, not just one. So one is greed. Second, why this happened? Not happy, not contented. So sense of dissatisfaction. Why this happened? Second reason, discontentment. Third, any other reason? Something to do with time? Time management is not proper. Had he returned back in between, he would have reached. But he is running, he is running, he is running, he is running. Is that person me? I am also running. And some people come and say, stop. I look behind and I feel I should stop. But the land is beautiful. more greener and I want to run more. The time of self-realization is now. The time to understand life is now. The time to feel life is now. To time to become an intelligent person. Intelligent person doesn't mean who is running in the world and collecting things of the world. There is one scientist. He wrote in his autobiography, I have spent my life in researching atoms and molecules. And now towards the end of my life, I feel life has slipped through my fingers. Nothing is in my hand. Everything I see, I have family, I have status, I have name, fame, glory. I have riches with me, but there is a vacuum within. I don't know what is missing. Even I help the poor, I help so many people in life. And yet I feel there is a vacuum. That spiritual vacuum cannot be filled by anything which you do on the surface. We are infinite beings. Infinite cannot be satisfied by anything which is finite. Know that for sure. We are infinite beings. Our thirst cannot be quenched by anything of this world. The sensual pleasure, the touch-born happiness, the flesh pleasures, the union of bodies, they are mere delusions. They cannot fill the soul with happiness. Soul needs something else. The spirit, this ruh, needs something else, something higher. Then only its thirst is quenched. So the first thing to do any time means no time. So come back, know what is the time, hear the call of the time. This is the time you have to do. Somebody is calling me. I must listen to the call. There is a story in the life of Saint Francis de Sales. He is one of the greatest saints of Christianity. And before, he was leading an ordinary life. He was in love with one woman, about to marry her, and there was a war, and he goes for the war as a soldier. But whilst going in that war as a soldier, suddenly he feels my horse is hungry, thirsty, and he takes him to the pond, and suddenly there he hears a voice, Francis, 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 go and build my house again. He says, who is this? But that voice is so strong because that was the divine call. And he cannot resist it. He comes back. His father scolds him that you came back as a coward. You had gone for the sake of country. It's not good for you to come like this. And when the king hears, he is thrown behind the bars. And when he comes out, he is an entirely different person. Now he is no more interested in material life. He is interested in something else. That voice is sounding and resounding. Francis, 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 go and build my house again. Which house? What house? He doesn't understand. And he goes and searches here and there. He finds a dilapidated church. And he feels, yeah, this is the house. And he starts collecting stones and builds that house. And he builds a church and later on he becomes a saint. Devotes his complete life to the higher purpose and a new order is formed. So that is an event in this life. Have I listened to the divine call? Has the divine call come unto me? The divine call has come. Just keep the eyes, ears open and listen. Something, some higher power is there which wants me to do something more than what I am doing now. I am not born for these ordinary things. I am born for something which is higher, which will fill the thirst of the souls. So, know the importance of time. Come back to the senses. Know that I have to do everything now. The second principle of health. Whatever things we are discussing here, these are the things not just to be heard or noted down, but something to let it sink in the mind, as if the call has come now. Where I am rushing, where I am running, I have to stop now for some time. Let me go in silence. Let me go in solitude and think and reflect and introspect and retrospect. What is the missing link in my life? What is the thing which I need to do and I am not doing? Though I have everything, but still there is some missing link, a thirst. I remember in my own life, while I finished my 12th standard exam, and one book came in my hand, the story of my experiment with truth by M.K. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi's life story, autobiography. The name of the book was The Story of My Experiment with Truth. And as I started reading that book, I was shocked. I was stopped by something, some force. My nature was entirely different, a naughty boy engaged in worldly activities. But there were holidays and the book came. And the moment I started reading that book, first chapter, second chapter, third chapter, suddenly I went in silence. I felt as if this is the thing I have done. The author said, I resorted to stealing, I felt, and he repented. Then he said, he smoked, and he repented. Then he said, I lied to my father, and I repented. I felt everything I am doing, even though I had not done anything like that, but I felt I should also repent in my life for all the sins I have committed. My age was just 16 or 17 that time. And a revolutionary change, a turning point happened. I was going on the path of the world, suddenly changed by 180 degrees. And I went in silence. I didn't know what has happened. My father was worried. What has happened to this boy? He is not talking. And I was silent for 6 months. Without speaking one single word. I didn't know what is happening within. All the questions of the life just came inside my mind. Who I am, what I have to do. I used to look at the rain falling and I would wonder from where this rain is coming. I would look at the sky, the clouds. What are these clouds? What is the rain? What is God? Who I am? What is the purpose of life? My father thought, what has happened to this boy? Let me take to the doctor. He has suddenly become mute. But that was the period I underwent silent spiritual revolution. Everything changed. And then the MBBS started. MBBS was very hectic. So many medical studies on one side and the search of God on another side. MBBS finished. Internship started for 1 year working in all the different departments, medicine, surgery, ortho, gyne, obstetrics. But the search was on. MBBS finished. All students went home. I stayed back. Listened to one spiritual gathering for 7 days without taking a food, a morsel of food. Again the reawakening happened. And again there was a PG preparation time. I was sitting and preparing for studies. But again that pull of spirituality, the divine call, as if somebody is calling me. Somebody is calling me, wake up, you have to do something. Come on, clasp my hand and come. Come, clasp my hand and come. And that made me to study all the religions of the world. I went to Islam, I went to Buddhism, I went to Christianity, I went to each and every scripture of Indian philosophy, all the Upanishads, all the spiritual institutions. And ultimately a time had come that I thought I should give up this world and take the higher call. But at that point of time, with that stage of highest stage of the mind that I don't want anything of this world, I reached Mount Abu and I was stopped by the atmosphere which was there. The things that happened, I stayed in one place, there is a huge hall which is known as Diamond Hall, and I was lying in that hall like that, bodiless, as if from 3 o'clock till 11 o'clock, and something happened and I stopped. So the time is now. As you have heard in this song, what that mother is saying to that child, you are an enlightened being. You are not an ordinary person. You have come for a greater work in this world. And that was my realization, that I have not come for just my family. I have come for some world service. Something selfless service. I don't want to be a selfish person who is engaged in treating patients and minting monies. I don't want that. I can't do that. My aim is something higher. So the first principle. The second principle of healthy mind: better not to cry over spilt milk. Better not to cry. These are the seven proverbs I am going to tell you. Better not to cry over spilt milk means, don't cry over past. Don't brood over your past. Whatever that has happened in the life has happened. Full stop. Now don't think about it too much. Otherwise we see that many people keep on spending their life still in brooding over the past. This person did not behave well with me. This person insulted me. He was the person who poisoned my life. This is the person who tortured me mentally so much. Half of the attention is in the past. Can I stop? You know, in this spiritual institution, this picture of Brahma, Dada Lake Raj, you must be seeing the old man. Okay, here. Earlier, this institution was in Pakistan, Karachi, in 1936-37, and then shifted to India in 1950 to Mount Abu. And during the shifting, there was India-Pakistan partition and riots. So one woman, one Mataji, one mother once came to this man, Dada Lake Raj, Brahma, Baba, we call him lovingly. And she said, Baba, I have done a great sin in my life. I cannot forgive myself what I should do. Now I follow you. But that sin, that blemish is here in my, on my soul. I cannot stop it. What should I do? So Baba asked her, what you did? She said, during the partition, and there were riots going on, people came and burnt my house. And I was burning inside. And I had two small kids, very small. So I didn't understand what to do. What I did, I took those kids of mine, kept them down, I stood on them and jumped outside, and they got burnt. I don't think, Baba, there would be a cruel mother than me. I am like that. And whole day, whole night, I keep on thinking of this, that I burnt, I torched my two babies to save myself. What should I do now? Tell me, which is the gyan you have? What knowledge you have that will help me to come out of this guilt, this past? So Baba said, after that only she came to this institution. She came to this spiritual knowledge. Baba said, if that had not happened, this would also have not happened. Agar wo na hota, to ye bhi na hota. If that was not there in life, this would also had not been there. Good that whatever that happened. Because whatever that has happened, can we bring it back? Can we change it now? Not at all. That's why full stop. Whatever that has happened, you know, this world is a drama. We all are actors here. And drama is perfect, accurate. Don't think that this scene of the drama is very bad. Okay, that was bad, but put a full stop now. How long you are going to repent it? Is there any good in repenting? Can a heart which is laden with guilt consciousness be happy in life? Can have healthy life? Never. Whatever you have done, whatever that has happened in life, just stop and forgive yourself. the best thing is doing this. We have not forgiven ourselves for many things. Forgive yourself. Okay, I have forgiven myself and I want to start anew, everything anew. I might be the greatest sinner in the world, but still, He is the ocean of mercy. He is the ocean of love. Quran calls Him Al-Rahman Al-Rahim. He is the ocean of mercy, ocean of compassion. No matter what has happened in life, put a full stop today. And I have to turn a new leaf, begin a new chapter of life. So second is, better not to cry over spilt milk. The milk which is already spilled, can you put it back into utensil? Never. Even if you do everything, something would remain. So things which have happened in life have happened. Forget them now. And it is very difficult to forget, but one has to make attempt now. And in between you keep on remembering them, then also plan what I should do if I remember those things. What are the opposing thoughts that I should raise? This is a sort of a therapy. For example, when you are in anger, they say that close the eyes and imagine a smiling child. Your anger will subside. When you are too much in passion, imagine a flower. You know, a child, how many times a child smiles? 300 times a day. How many times we smile? They calculated. 300 times he smiles. And we, if we smile at least 3, it is okay. But even smile has been snatched somewhere. In getting the land which is little more greener and beautiful. And once I get that land, then I will look back and I come back. Just trying to grab new land, new car, new plot, new job, new career, new degrees, new worldly ambitions, accomplishments. Outside we are feeling, inside we are getting empty. Then third principle, count your blessing. This is a proverb in English. Count your blessings means, rather than becoming a complaint box all the time complaining, express thankfulness. Make a list of things I have in life. So many good things I have achieved in life. I have a family, I have wealth, everything is there. Still, why am I unhappy? Count your blessings. God has given me so many things. Such a beautiful mind God has given me. The mind, even though it is peaceless, but it is in search of peace. The very search makes it beautiful. Count your blessings. So all of you will sit in meditation for 2 minutes. Just sit alert. The mind completely calm. How beautiful this life is. Let me stop today. Let me look back. There are so many things in my life, so many beautiful things. Why am I focusing only on the black spot on the white paper? Let me see the white paper. So many brilliant things happening. I see my family. I see my relatives. I see my workplace, my colleagues, my friends. I see all the good things that have ever happened in my life. The happy moments of my life, the blissful moments of my life, the aha moments of my life. How blessed I am. I have been gifted with so many things. I look at my own heart. I congratulate my own heart for good wishes, pure feelings it had for everyone always. I see my own beautiful mind, always in search of love. Is it not a blessing to have such a mind, such a heart, such a life? Let me be thankful to everyone. All those who are around me, who are in my life, I thank them all for everything they have done. I thank even those people who criticized me, opposed me, who looked at my faults, who backbite, because they have taught me so many things. I even remember those bad events of my life, those untoward circumstances, but they also taught me so many things. Everything that has happened in my life is my teacher. Om Shanti. So count your blessings. Think of the good things that have happened in the life. Think of even the bad things and learn from them, because they happened for a purpose. Good that they happened. Because of that only we got to know who are our friends, real friends. The next, fourth, death keeps no calendar. The fourth proverb is, death keeps no calendar. Means, stay ever ready all the time. Nobody knows when would be my final moments. Did those people praying in the church in Sri Lanka know that that is going to be their final moments? No. There is no guarantee for anything. Keep on remembering the final thing that is going to happen. That will keep one alert. Don't think that this is going to go on for on and on, on and on for years together. Look at the things of the world. People are predicting Third World War, asteroid attacks, aliens attack, methane gas burst from sea, honeybees are getting extinguished. Whatever that is in the world, it's not going to go on forever. The day of judgment, Kayamat, is around the corner somewhere. This is not going to go on. And that's why, as I said in the first proverb, time is now. I will do in future, no, do it now. And keep on remembering death all the time. You know how the Nobel Prize came in picture? They give Nobel Prize every year. Have you heard about Nobel Prizes? So how that came? There was a person, Alfred Nobel. And he invented dynamite. And he became very famous. But his goal, because he was a small boy and then later on worked in mountains, so later on when he grew up, he invented dynamite that would help people in mining. But then people used it for some other reason, in war, in killing people. And he got infamous. And once his brother died in some accident. But mistakenly, the newspaper wrote his name that he has died. And they wrote, "The merchant of death is dead." He was the merchant of death. Then news said something like this, because he invented dynamite and people were using in wars to kill each other. So when he read that news, he was shocked. This is how I am going to remember after my death. He said, no, I can't. In 1886, then he said, let me collect whatever he has earned. He was a very rich person by that time. He collected all his money and he created a prize that this prize should be there after my name, Nobel Prize. And persons who is excelling in the field of physics, chemistry or something like that, arts, they should be given this prize with this much money. And that money was so large sum, it is still going on. More than 100 years now. So that's how, because he did not want people to remember him like that after his death. Now nobody even knows that he invented dynamite and people remembered him at that time like that. Now people feel Nobel Prize means, oh, something very great. So how do I want people to remember me after my death? Have I spoken sweetly with all? Or when I die, people feel, oh good, he has gone. Ultimately he had gone. You know, one picture I will give you. Imagine your own death. Okay? You imagine your, and see what is the reaction of people around you. Listen what they are talking. Suppose you are getting buried or burning, whatever. Listen what they are talking with each other. As if you are angel above and this is the dead body. See what they are talking about me. Somebody is saying, good, he has gone. Somebody is saying, now I will take over his post. He was the only obstacle in my path. He was my boss. He has gone. Now I will become boss. I feel that everybody loves me so much. But later on I will realize everybody is selfish. They are loving me for their selfish means. The whole world is selfish. Where is the selfless love except God's? None. Whether they are anybody. So create that picture of death, that this is what I have died and this is what people are thinking about me. Why not I should do everything? If this is what is that, I want to make my life the best. Let me utilize everything for the world. Let me work as selflessly as possible for the world. Because I know the world people are selfish. I don't have any expectation from them. Create a new policy, it is known as zero expectation policy. Don't expect love, don't expect care, don't expect attention, don't expect praise, appreciation, acknowledgement from others. Rather, think of giving it to others. I have done something great, don't think that your friends will congratulate you. They may not. If they do, it's okay. But if they don't do, it's still okay. I don't want, I am not beggar for praise. And then next principle, early to bed, early to rise, it's a easy way to become happy, wealthy and wise. These are the two principles I am telling for healthy life. Go to bed early and wake up early. All the meditators around the world, they wake up early in the morning. The more early you wake up, the better it is. When the worldling people are sleeping, the atmosphere is refreshing. You get some new ideas there in new atmosphere. In refreshing atmosphere, mind is calm, try to sit for some time. Sit and go within. Talk with yourself. Go in nature. Go on the terrace. Go in the garden. Seeing the safety of the scene. So go anywhere or sit at one place and just try to be who you are. What I am. What is the purpose of life? Self-talk is must. So get up early in the morning. Pratasmarami hridi sanspuradatma tattvam satchit sukham paramahansa gatim turiyam tad brahma nishkalamaham nachabhati bhuta sangam. I am not just this body, I am something else. Something which is spiritual. A spirit, a soul, a ruh. I am that. Get stabilized in that consciousness, higher consciousness. Let go of this body consciousness. Whole day body, 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 body. To feed the body, to look at body, to get attracted to the body, to body. Is this the whole thing? What is the beauty of a human being? Just the body and the color. Where is the beauty in the old age? Where is the beauty when person is deceased? People get attracted only to the outside beauty. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Vyadhi and jara. Old age is going to come. Everything is temporary. Seek the eternal, seek the highest, seek the imperishable, not the perishable body. And we are those being, those spirit. Amritasya putra. Children of immortality. We are not ordinary people. As we think, this is our religion. That's why that mother, motherless eye is telling, don't think that you are body. Shuddhosi, buddhosi, niranjanosi, sansara maya parivarjitosi. You are something which is beyond the delusion of the world. Forget this delusion, I am this body. This religion, that religion, I am born in a Christian family, I am Christian, I am born in Islam family, I become Islam, I am born in Hindu family, I become Hindu. Is this my identity? Or something else? No. I am something else, a spiritual being. Swami Vivekananda had said somewhere, it's good to be born in church, but it is very, very bad to die in church. It is good that you are born as a Christian, but you die as a Christian, this is really a misfortune. You are not right to understand the universal brotherhood or universal faith. You remain restricted only to one. So, make it aim to rise up early. If you cannot, ask somebody to give you a missed call so that you can get up for some days. Set an alarm. There was a brother, a joke in Mount Abu. He wanted to get up early, but he would not because of, I don't know, many reasons. So what he did, he used to set alarm. But every time it is 5 o'clock, his hand would go out and he would stop the alarm and sleep again. Next day he decided, I have to do something. What he did, there was a bed on the other side. He kept that alarm watch below the bed, so that he will get up, then he will go inside the bed. By the time his sleep would be broken. So next day the alarm was played and he woke up, went inside the bed, stopped the alarm and slept there only. So again the same. But do something so that you get up early. So that the best thing for that is to go to sleep early. Go to sleep early. Two last points, then we'll end the session. First thing firsts. First thing first. Prioritize the things in life. This is the thing I have to do. I have done all these things till now. Now this is the priority in my life. So sixth is first thing first. Means put the priority. What is the priority in my life? Peace of mind should be the priority in life. Not the worldly things and goods and things. Am I peaceful? If I am losing my peace, that may be in anything. This is not a very good. I am in loss then. Peace of mind is my priority, and I will do everything to get this peace of mind. Search peace. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall open. Ask, and it shall be given. Jesus says, you have to search it. It is not going to come suddenly with you. You have to search it. And then last, grabs all, lose all. Try to get everything and you'll get nothing. Don't go mad in the world seeking things of the world. Be happy, be satisfied with what you have got. It's much, much, much than the people who are there in the world. There's a poem in English, I had blues because I had no shoes. Blues means depression, unhappiness. Until upon a street I saw a man with no feet. There are people much misfortunate than you, much less fortunate than you. So be happy. So these are the seven principles, seven proverbs. So when the mind becomes healthy, automatically you get achieve health. So the first was, we'll revise once again. Any time means no time. A for any time means no time. B for better not to cry over spilt milk. Whatever that has happened, now full stop, start a new life. C for count your blessing. D for death keeps no calendar. So be aware, always that sword is hanging overhead, anytime it can fall. I never know that evening will come today. Today might be the last day of my life. Live this life as if this is the last day. Let me do every good thing that I can do today only. Then E for early to bed and early to rise. So try to make, don't because of the digital attractions. Night is the time when this is most attractive. It pulls like anything. When 10 o'clock, then 11 o'clock, then 12 o'clock, it is very attractive thing. So digital detox for some time, at least at the time of night, before sleeping. Keep this mobile aside for before half an hour before sleep. Switch off or silent or vibrate or at least go offline, if not all of these things. And then EF means first things first, prioritize. And the last, grab all, lose all. Okay? Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. We have 10 minutes for question time. Anyone has a burning question, please come up. Your question will help the others.
Thank you very much. I learned a lot today. My question is, all of us, we are born Christian, Hindu or Buddhist, as I am a Taoist and also a Buddhist. So we have been raised by our families. So if we have religion taught by our parents, why is this world coming to, why are we lost and seeking spirituals, seeking answers? Why? I mean, we are all have parents, and most of us, we are, you know, we are, some even have, like, got Bible, got holy books and all that. And so, but why are we, like, why is this world coming to this stage, is my answer.
Why the world has come to this stage? You know, Lao Tse, the founder of Taoism, even when he was there, long back, who do you think he taught the philosophy of life? Even the world was like that time also. We think that earlier things were good. At the time of Buddha, things were good. But then who did Buddha teach love? At the time of Christ, things were good. But then who did Jesus teach love? Things have been like that for a very long time. But now, because of many things, things have come to the worst part. For this to understand, you need to understand the world cycle. There is one concept of world cycle. There are some religions like Islam, Christianity and Judaism. They say that world time is linear, only one life. There is another concept which say that everything moves in cycle. So once upon a time there was a golden age, then the silver age, then the copper age, now is the iron age. And when there is the end of iron age, the world comes to the most irreligious phase, where there is no religion at all. where everything has its worst. So, if you see from the Copper Age, many people came, many religions were founded, many things happened. But during that period also, there was deterioration of the world has already started. Even though so many new people came on this planet Earth, and they tried to hold this planet, but still the deterioration continued. And this is the phase where you are now, we are now. This is the last phase, the last leg of the drama. And soon, a new age is about to come. When that will come, how that will come, I think in this institution there is a basic 7-day course, and they teach about this world cycle. So you need to understand world cycle, then only on the basis of that you can understand why there is so much crime, so many, this is the end of the world like scenes, and so many predictions and crimes and so many immoral things happening in the world. Absolutely spiritual lassitude. If you look at the world, nobody is interested in spirituality. Everybody is just running and rushing. They're grabbing money, wealth, happiness, sensual pleasures. That is the only thing. So the answer is, it is the last part of this world drama. The world cycle is about to end and a new cycle is about to start. That's why some of the religions like Hinduism, they, in Gita, God says that whenever there will be irreligion, I will come back in the world to re-establish the religion. So, there's one book which you can get here, World, Eternal World Cycle. Three parts are there, part 1, part 2, part 3. Your answer is in part 2. That's a very big question, so I don't have that much time to explain you here. But you go to these three books. Part 1 is about soul. Part 2 is about world drama, and third part is about God, which is biggest book. That includes everything. So it's all about world cycle. Any other question? Yeah.
I do not know how to put in question, but I really, really is searching for an answer. And because I personally feel very confused nowadays, because I doesn't know what to follow, who to listen, because I want to improve myself. So because I want to improve myself, whatever I think that I can learn something good, I try to go. But when I go into it, I find very confused because of the culture difference, the language difference. So in the end, sometimes I get confidence, sometimes I get calmness, sometimes I get very confused and very fearful. So I'm neither here or there, so I'm really, really very confused in this world, even regarding spirituality or religion or what. I really am finding something which I feel comfortable with. I'm feeling very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah. See. Her question is so pertinent. At present, there are about 4,200 religions in the world. And every religion, every potter praises his own pot. You come to us, we will give you peace. This is the only true religion. This is the only true things. Every philosopher says that this is the final philosophy. And they will teach you something, this. What should be done? I myself, in my life, I don't think that there was any religion where I did not go. Any religious institution which I did not visit. Not just visiting, but following everything which they taught. I went to church for 3 months, followed everything which is in the Christian. I went to Islam, I went to Buddhism, Zen philosophy, Taoism, Confucius, and all the Indian philosophies. There are so many. 6 philosophies and Upanishads and so many things. Sometimes worshipping Krishna, sometimes worshipping Rama and many other temples. And a stage had come in my life where I was totally confused as to what is true. Whether I should go to that Art of Living or to that Mata Amritanandamayi or to Sri Sri Ravi Shankar or that Divine Life Society or that Anand Mark or Mahanubhav Panth, and there are so many. There's no end to that. In India, every 100 kilometer you will find one temple, one institution, and they say that this is the only true institution. Please come to us. If you don't come to us, you will go to hell. Your hell is fixed. You have to come to us. See, now what to do when such a stage is there? Religion in one word is realization. Religion is not about dogmas, about philosophies, about concepts, this thing, that thing. This religion believes God is like that. This religion believes God is like that. This religion says, no, God is incorporeal. This religion says, no, God is personal. This religion says, go and worship statues. They say, no, if you worship statues, we will break your statues. We are strongly against idolatry. See, just look at the example of Lord Buddha. He never taught anyone to worship statues. Who is the person in the world about him maximum statues are created? Is Buddha. And he himself never said that, create my statue. One. Second, he never said to anyone, surrender upon. He said to Ananda at the time of death, Appo Deepa Bhava. Appo Deepa Bhava means in Pali language, Ananda, be a light unto yourself. Don't surrender unto anybody. But what the followers of Buddha did? Buddham Sharanam Gacchami. We surrender unto you. They surrendered unto him only. He never said to create any temple, but the maximum temples are of Buddha. So great men came, but their followers, they deviated. And that's why there is so much confusion in the world. That's why the one and the final definition of religion is, religion means realization. If you have realized, stop there. If you feel, but that quest, that search should go on. What is the truth? But a time will come when you will know that this is the place I am born for and this is the place I am going to get the right way. Keep on continuing that search. Let the mind remain turbulent. It's good because this is the period of great darkness and the tunnel is just about to open and the morning is about to come. This is the steep dark darkness which is there. Soon you will get the light. Wait and watch. They also win who only wait and watch. As I told about Saint Francis, the divine call will come and you will be picked up. Stay ready. Say me. Yeah.
You say...
this is known as divine discontent.
But
this is not that discontent, I have less money, I have less wealth. This is a very different discontent. This is known as the divine discontent, Devi Asantosh.
But brother, at our age, our heart is very weak. So
yeah.
If we were to accept the turbulence in our mind, we might not be able to take it. So how to steady our heart and our mind in order to reach that stage?
A very, very sincere prayer from the heart to the Almighty, if at all He is existing. Pray to Him that if my prayer is true, please, I don't know who you are, but you know who I am. I don't know where you are, but are you not aware where I am? Can you not pick me up? Jesus says to his followers, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. In the similar manner, God will choose. And the time will come soon. So stay ready. Yes, one last question. Take the mic. See, questions of the life, I will tell you one more thing about questions. If whatever questions you will answer and whatever questions you will ask and whatever answers I will give, from every answer 10 new questions will be created. Be sure. That's why a new person would come to Lord Buddha and he would say, I want to ask you a few questions. Lord Buddha would say, I will answer your question but stay with me for 1 year. And then you answer. Then I will answer you. And then the other monk who is sitting, he says, please don't listen to this man. I also came like this 30 years back. And he told me that I will answer after 1 year. Now it is 30 years. And my question is destroyed. So if you want to ask, don't stay. Get the answer now. So in spirituality, you don't have to seek answers. In spirituality, questions are destroyed. You become question free. You become question less. And that is the real answer. Ask. Still now, last question as a part of the session. But know well that the real answer will come out from your own subconscious mind, not from outside.
Okay. I learned a lot from Raja Yoga, that the realization of the soul,
yeah,
and our body is not the permanent feature. And we learned to better ourselves spiritually. But having said that, we have a purpose in this life.
Yeah.
As a body, we have got a responsibility. We are not just put there like you know, okay, you live your 50 years and you come back to me. No. What I believe is that we learn this spirituality to do our best in this world as a body.
Right.
So as a body, there are many, like I myself, I can't sit and meditate that long. But for me, service is prayer. I feel pure, I feel good, I feel nice. I don't expect any returns, whatever. But I feel that with God. So when you say that everything that is done here is for a selfish purpose, I lost heart. So what do you say to this? Thank you.
I'll come to that. See, there are two, three things in that. When I say that, whatever people are doing in this world are for selfishness. This is true in the sense when you take a broader picture of the world. Look at the broader picture, take all the systems of the world, politicians, okay, scientists and the religious leaders, everybody, look at some family, everywhere, it's not about one human being. When I say selfishness, it's for everyone. Now, but are there some selfless people in this world? Yes, there are there. Not everyone. There are always exceptions in the world. There are people who have devoted their complete life for the sake of humanity. They have given up their everything, every bone of their, every bit of their. Such people are very, very less in the world. When I say the world is selfish, it is the majority I am talking. Now, list, not just one religion. Look at the, just look at Islam. So many list of selfless people are there, who sacrificed their everything. They suffered like anything. The Battle of Karbala and the beginning of Islam, they suffered so much. What was their purpose? Just for the sake of humanity. Look at Christianity. So many. It is not just the Christ who sat is crucified. So many later on got crucified. So many. If you see list of saints tortured, you will get about 400-500 list of saints who are tortured. And what was their fault? Selfless service to humanity. Look at Hinduism, huge list. Look at any religion of the world. Buddha himself was tortured like anything. Not just forget that, in the recent age, so many saints. So definitely there are people, and not just those who are attached to spirituality, those who have nothing to do with spirituality, even they are very selfless in the world. There's a group of people, they just believe in working selflessly for others. They don't expect in return, they don't want anything for themselves. They just want to serve. There are people who are highly educated, but we find like you go in some spiritual institution, they are sweeping the floor. You ask them, what are they? They are IAS officers. The topmost management officers are doing such service. Why? Because they want to destroy that ego which is within them. So when I say the world is selfish, definitely the world is selfish, but there is a group of people who are always selfless. Now this is first part. Second thing you said about body. Now when I say the body is illusory and the pleasures of the body is illusory, definitely this is right, but then this is a very precious body that we have got. And we have to take care of it properly, because we know that when I fall sick, I cannot meditate. I can't do any service. So the utmost care has to be taken of this body. You know, Saint Francis, when he was dying, he made a prayer to his body. He said, oh my body, please forgive me. What he prayed to his own body, that I made you suffer so much throughout my life through fasting and so many things, and I forgot that you served so much. It is in you, sitting in you, that I realized my Lord. So body is a very important thing. It has to be taken care of, but you don't have to pamper it. You don't have to overcare it, so that it becomes just a means of enjoyment to you. It is the means of doing tapasya, sadhana. It is the means of achieving the highest. It's sitting in this body that you achieve the highest in life. So it's not about... But since we are in this body, so many births after births, we are so much attached to it. Look at the crimes in the world. Why are they committed? Just for a fraction of a second of happiness. That's it. And for that they commit so many crimes. All the sex crimes. What are all they? The same thing. It is all the bodily pleasure, the flesh enjoyment. They are doing only for that thing. So this body is definitely a very good vehicle, but take care of it, good care of it. It should remain healthy, but you should not pamper it and you should not give only to the bodily pleasures. This is the second part. The third part of your question about meditation. Sitting for a long time. See, meditation, if there is a person who has recently got operated, how can that person, is operated for knees, he cannot meditate, he cannot sit for a long time in the cross-legged like this, like Buddha. No. Meditation is a stage, is an act of not doing something. It is a state of being. So it is no compulsion that you sit at one place. You can walk and meditate. You can do anything. You are filling water, you are doing, you are cooking and meditating. You are speaking and meditating. You are listening and meditating. Meditation doesn't mean that I sit like this with a particular posture and with some mudra like this. It is not necessary at all. Meditation is, if you are a mother and your child is somewhere in America, and do you meditate and sit and now let me remember my child? No, there is a relationship. So in the similar manner, we are related to God with some bond, some relationship. And when that relationship is established, you automatically remember. So this remembering God is known as meditation. Meditation doesn't mean any asanas, any mudras. Meditation doesn't mean to keep leg like here or leg there. Don't do all those things which, that is not meditation. You can become a Hatha Yogi by that, not Raj Yogi. Raj Yoga means loving remembrance of God. That's it. That can be done anywhere, in the bathroom also. You can be in the stage of meditation, always in the stage of meditation. But these are particular timing which are set, like morning hours, if possible sit at one place, so that you can still the mind. This mind is a monkey. It jumps from here and there always. No moment it doesn't stay calm. So for that reason, in between you can sit. But if it is not possible, walk around and do meditation. Keep on strolling and do meditation. But everything in the stage of silence, solitude, soul consciousness, I am not this body, I am something higher, something spiritual. With that. So I think that answers your question. I think we'll finish it.
We've come to the end of the program, and before we give, we call upon all of you to come forward. We'll have a group photograph taken quickly, and then brother will distribute sweet and blessings. But brother, you want to have short meditation? 1 minute meditation, please.
I am a pure consciousness. A divine light, a spiritual light, sitting in the middle of the forehead. I am a point of radiant light. My whole body is filled with divine light. Now gradually, without any noise, just stand up on wherever you are sitting. Just stand up very slowly. Hold each other's hand like this and close the eyes. Pure energy is going out from my both hands to the two souls who are beside me. I am feeling the surge of pure and positive energy within me. The divine energy from these two persons who are standing on my sides is coming unto me. Eyes closed. Silence within. The force of divinity is giving me a very divine experience. I am feeling absolutely light. The weakness which was in my heart, some of my faults, my imperfections, my flaws, the energy flow is so fast and so wonderful that I am feeling as if I have got rid of all my addictions, all my bad habits, all peacelessness. I am a pure soul. I am a peaceful soul. My mind has become peaceful. My body has become peaceful. My whole life has become peaceful. Ah, what a feeling. Complete flow of positivity within. Such stage of purity. My heart has become ecstatic. Now gradually open the eyes and sit down again, keeping the same feeling of peace and lightness, and resolving to be embarking on new life soon with peace, love and happiness around me. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. So, are you taking back anything with you? Enjoyed the talk? So let's give him an applause. Thank you.